Session 3, Jesus at the Centre. Many of us love watching sport. As a runner, I wonder if I'm able to say that for it to be a real sport, it's got to have a ball. I've always loved watching rugby in particular. There's so much going on, running, tackling, line-outs, scrums, formations, tactics. But of course, there's one thing in rugby, and for that matter, any ball sport, that is central: the ball. And what is true of the ball in a game of football or rugby is true of Jesus Christ in the life of a Christian. Last week we heard Paul say, "For me, to live is Christ." And any Christian can say, "Jesus has died for my sins. Jesus has given me eternal life. Jesus is now living in me through the Holy Spirit." Of course, being a Christian involves lots of different things, just as a game of rugby does. But right at the centre of it is Jesus, and it's crucial in the Christian life to keep Jesus where he belongs, right at the centre. And that's what Paul is encouraging us all to do in this letter to the Philippians. And right at the heart of the letter is one of the most wonderful songs about Jesus. If we're going to keep Jesus central in our lives, we need to keep coming back to who he is, what he's done for us, and how we should respond to him. So we're going to spend a few minutes now digging into this wonderful hymn. It's in Philippians chapter 2 and from verses 5 down to 11. Let me read it now. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Well, four big truths about Jesus for us to pick out from this hymn. First, Jesus' identity, God and man. Those first six words separate Christianity from every other world religion and worldview. Jesus is pretty often revered as a great man or teacher, but the claim here is so much more than that. Jesus is, according to verse 6, in very nature God. And that's exactly what we see as we meet him in the gospel accounts, a man who speaks with God's authority, a man who does things only God can do, who in fact directly claims on several occasions to be God. Every other worldview may get some things right about Jesus, but they all end up falling short because they fail to recognize Jesus as God himself. And the hymn goes on to explain that at a particular point in history, God became a human. Verse 6, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." Now, it's not that Jesus stops being God at that point, but that rather that God deliberately took on the full nature of a human being. And he wasn't just kind of pretending to be human. What he experienced in life was 100% authentic human experience. He got tired, he was tempted, he loved and longed and wept and laughed. It's amazing. Jesus' identity, fully God, fully man. And that means when we read about Jesus in the Bible, we should be thinking, wow, this is what God is like. But it also means that God is not a God who is aloof and detached, but one who understands our struggles as people. In fact, he understands them perfectly because he has personally experienced them himself. Jesus' identity, God and man. Second big truth from this hymn, Jesus' attitude, humble servant. Recently, the Tesco managing director required all the senior management staff to spend one day every fortnight stacking shelves or working the till. He explained to the media that the The big idea was the management to get their hands dirty and to understand life on the shop floor. Well, Jesus takes that kind of idea to another level. Read from verse 7 with me. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus enjoyed the perfect joy of heaven. He enjoyed a perfect face-to-face relationship with God his Father. But instead of grasping onto it as a right, he gave it all up. And this hymn reads a bit like a staircase that steps us all the way down from eternal glory right down to the depths of shame and degradation. As it says, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And everything that he did was completely willing and voluntary. I wonder if you picked that up. It says that he made himself nothing. It was him who took on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself. You see, Jesus wasn't forced into any of it. He willingly took himself from the highest to the lowest. And all that is all the more mind-blowing when we consider why he did all of this. That's our third key truth. Jesus' mission, death on a cross. I wonder if you spotted the slightly odd phrase at the end of verse 8. It talks about Jesus becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, like lots of songs, it's quite a compact phrase. It requires a bit of unpacking. It doesn't mean that Jesus was obedient to death in the sense that death was something that he had to obey. No, his obedience is not to death, but to God, his Father. What it means is that he was obedient to God all the way to the point of death itself. And so can you see the point being made? Jesus' death was not a tragic mistake, but rather it was an act of obedience. Behind the dreadful events of Jesus' betrayal and arrest, his brutal treatment and death, was a plan that God the Father set in motion, and a plan that Jesus obediently and willingly got on board with. And that plan was nothing other than God's rescue plan for the world. Here's what the Apostle Peter wrote in his letter, 1 Peter 3 verse 8. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. You see, our sin leaves us all facing God's anger and punishment. Yet on the cross, Jesus faced the death that we deserve. He took my place, the righteous, Jesus, for the unrighteous, me. But he could only do that if first he gave up all the glory of heaven and became a human being. You see, Jesus gave it all up so that he could represent us, so he could be our substitute, so he could save us. He became a servant and humbled himself for our sake. And it's exactly that attitude that Christians are told to imitate. See how the hymn begins in verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Not clinging on to our rights, but giving them up for the sake of others. Serving others. Putting the needs of others above ourselves. And if we ever think, well, I couldn't do that, that's beneath me. Well, remember Jesus, Lord and God over all, and yet nothing was beneath him. Jesus' attitude, humble servant. Final big truth we see about Jesus in this hymn. Jesus' exaltation, Lord over all. When people climb Mount Everest, they often talk about the exhilaration of knowing that there is nowhere on earth higher, and that as they stand on the summit, there is no person on earth higher than them. Well, that's the final claim this song makes about Jesus. Have a look at verse 9. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. because Jesus willingly humbled himself and tasted the death that we deserved, God has exalted him to the highest place. Jesus rose from the dead and now has returned back to heaven as the supreme king over all. And verses 10 to 11 tell us how we should respond to him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Bowing our knees? Well, that means making Jesus the boss, listening to him, living as he says, doing that in every area of life. Confessing as Jesus that Jesus is Lord? Well, that means being willing to identify ourselves with him. Talk about him openly. Let people know that we're living life for him. What a wonderful Lord to have humbled himself to save us. This hymn also says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You see, Jesus is the Lord of all right now, but one day he will return as judge, and that will be made clear to everyone. How much better to bow before him now as our saviour than to refuse him now, only to face him then as our judge. Well, it's a wonderful hymn. It puts Jesus right at the centre. And of course, that's what a Christian is, someone who has Jesus right at the centre of their lives. A Christian is someone who has accepted Jesus' rescue and forgiveness at the cross. A Christian is someone who lives for Jesus as the Lord of their lives. A Christian is someone for whom Jesus isn't just facts to know about, but a song to sing and rejoice about. That's what this poem originally was for. A Christian is someone who makes Jesus the model for their own attitudes and relationships. Take the ball away from the game, and you haven't got a game. Take Jesus out of being a Christian, and you're not a Christian. Being a Christian isn't about being nice or moral or religious. It's all about Jesus.